When it comes to a human, you might have impulses on something, but you can actually change your mouth, the way you think about something.
Welcome to the Purpose of Your Life podcast. In this episode, the topic discussed will be artificial intelligence and karma. This August, we have our annual Salau United Kingdom Gurmat Samagam, which consists of the youth camp, ages 16 to 25, for the second week of August, the children's camp, ages 10 to 15, for the third week of August, and the main camp for all Sangat for the fourth week of August. For more educational material and event schedule, visit www.mysimran.info.
Vaheguruji ka khalsa.
Vaheguruji ki fateh.
We're here in the heart of Silicon Valley, here for our Gurmat Samagam that's taking place in Silicon Valley. Gurmukh Pyareo by Jitendra Singh had a question. Go ahead, Vaheguru.
So a lot of AI is coming out in this world, as we know, and we are in the heart of Silicon Valley. A lot of companies are buying AI companies, all these major companies like Google and all that. And I would just wanted to know, what are your thoughts on AI and what is it holding for us in the future?
You know, I have a very good friend. He always tells me, he goes, Carl is, we're playing checkers while Carl is playing chess, right? And what happens is when we look at, like, for example, in Kali Yuga, one of the biggest things that we talk about is the dignity that comes with karam. So Gurbani tells us karam taram tum cho parsaja, which means work and dharam are supposed to be balanced. Obviously, one of the biggest mistakes that we make is we're usually imbalanced with our work and we're very low on our meditation and bhakti. Bhakti means meditation. What Kaal has done, what happens is that when you take the work element out of something, then what happens is people are left without a profession, people are left without dignity, people are left without kind of the pride, in a good way, to go ahead and say, I've earned this, let me go ahead and now put whatever I've done, my earnings, to good use. And this is why this is important. If you don't have that pride that it takes for work, if you don't have that dignity where it comes to work, what happens, you'll find you won't have that work ethic when it comes to your bhakti. When it comes to your simran, you won't know how to transform that thing over. So, like, for example, how much education you needed to get a job, okay? Or maybe you didn't have the skills, but you worked those skills up to go ahead and get that job that you needed. So now you did all that work to get that job. Now the next thing is, how do you go ahead and work in that job and all the life skills that come from it? You know, in that knowledge that you have, most people take that knowledge and they apply it to the seva that they do. So like we have a good, for example, we have a lot of people who do technical seva. We have people who do longer seva. We have all these other things that who do various types of seva. I'll give you a very easy example. Like, what stops us from doing construction seva in the Gurdwara? Was because we don't have those skills. So because we never learned that work ethic, we don't know how to go ahead and do that seva. What stops us from cooking in the Gurdwara or making the langar? Well, we didn't cook in our house, so how are we going to go ahead and cook langar in the Gurdwara? So the things that we learn in our material life are equally important, because one of the things Gurbani says, the reason why we're stuck in the cycle of life and death is because we don't know how to do the seva. And physical seva is important. Why is physical seva important? Physical seva is important because it puts you in a position to begin doing the mental seva. Okay? Now, going back to AI and machine learning and everything else, machine learning is actually wonderful. You're going to see doctors make less mistakes. There's going to be more automation. With robotics and stuff, you're going to see less injuries, less physical fatigue. People aren't going to have to do as much to have a comfortable life. But the problem is, when it comes to jobs and stuff, part of the problem is that we don't have an institution around education to say, what are the new set of work skills that you need for that? So for example, in the old days, people used to go to college just to learn how to think. And then college was essentially a weeding out period to say, does this person have the intellectual acumen to go ahead and be able to go to the next level to either be a professor or do this or whatever else? Other than that, or they would use those skills or whatever, maybe apply it to their life. Now, when everyone goes to college, but they don't necessarily need all those things for the work skills that they do, what happens is you find a whole bunch of people in debt who don't know necessarily what they're doing, and they can't find jobs and what they want to do. Like, you know, what's a philosophy or some other major going to help you try to find a job? But those majors are around to for your edification, for your self-betterment. That was the purpose of those educational goals. But, like, we've lost the purpose of college. College has become a system where we've essentially gone ahead and said it's a place where you're going to get a job next rather than a place for you to understand how to think or problem solve. So now put that aside. People have to understand this. Technology is never a danger. People who don't know how to use the technology problem, that's where the danger begins. We use social media, we use TV, we use the internet, basically to broadcast prachar. The medium isn't the issue. The content that you choose to go ahead and listen to or experience through those mediums, that's your choice. And you have the freedom for that choice. So in Gurbani, on one hand, it says in Kali Yuga, Kal is so smart, he's going to try to keep people poor. And, you know, in the old days, you could have a good job, and you could make a good living, and people were comfortable, and they would be okay. Now it feels like even if you've got enough money, you're still way behind. And the corrupt are more corrupt. I'll give you an example. If you see Bill Gates, lots of money. What did he say? He said, I want to give away all my money. Why? To make the world at least better. Now you got more billionaires today, but how many people are following Bill Gates' examples to say, we're going to give away all our wealth to make sure the world is better? A lot less. The reason why is because as Kali Yuga gets stronger, people's compassion, people's social responsibility, it becomes wavering and starts decreasing. So one thing we have to look at is, okay, now we're stuck in a situation where people are struggling to make a living. Maybe they don't have the skills to have a job. Maybe they're going to be unemployed, whatever it is. What are we going to do to step in? Then the next thing is, because people don't have enough money, they won't have a place to stay, they won't have food to eat, etc. So there are real consequences to going ahead and doing things with technology without understanding how is this really going to impact humans. Like, I'm sure the guy who, you know, when the car came along, and then people were like, hey, I'm a saddle maker, and I'm doing this for horses, right? I mean, it was easy to kind of transition skill sets, but now it's very hard. And we have to look at it the same way with our Gurmukh education, okay? You have all this technology to make your life easier, but is it giving you more time or less time to do bhakti? And that's the biggest challenge that people have to face when they look at these things.
So when we have AI, like, how do we relate that to, like, basically we're replacing people and jobs, but when you talk about AI, the robot doesn't have a mind, and a robot doesn't have, you know, the same capabilities as a human fully, and how do you replace that, you know, and what does Gurbani have to say about, you know, using technology rather than the mind?
You know, Gurbani gives us an example of Robin, right? Robin had a very advanced technology of things in previous yugas. And the problem is with Robin is that it wasn't used responsibly. As a result, it led to the destruction of the known world at that time. One of the things we have to understand is the mind is a jyoti. That means the mind has God's divinity in it. You can make an artificial body. You can have a programmed mechanism of a biological brain that you feed it, like, information and decision-making matrices, and there can be binary code behind it, but it's still not a human. What makes us human is the mind. And what makes us human, different than all the other Lakshrasi June, all the other different 8.4 million Junes that take place, what makes a human different is a human can change their mut, the way they think about something. So everything is programmed. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, particular dogs are bred to go ahead and, you know, chase down, like, birds. You can't unprogram that from the dog, right? The dog will always just be like, I've got to chase this. I've got to follow it. But when it comes to a human, you might have impulses on something, but you can actually change your mut, the way you think about something. What differentiates you from an animal versus a human is that you can actually change the way you think. So the mind isn't just binary code. It's just not electronic impulses going through the brain. There's something else over there that affects the way the brain functions. There are things like when Kaal takes over the body or the five dudes take over the body, then what happens is they influence the brain and that influences the mind. But when the mind rules the body, then the mind has complete control of everything.
I think you touched on this a little bit, but I think another issue is that when we do have AI, people won't be able to make they won't be able to make a living. And essentially, that's one of the problems. So what's the issue when people aren't working, but they're actually paid to live similar to welfare?
You know, like welfare and a social net, it's imperative and it's important, right? There are some people who are less fortunate. Some people don't have the same opportunities. And there's something that's different between equality and opportunity. Right. So when we're talking about equity, what we're talking about is like, do people have enough fair opportunities? Most of the time when people get stuck on welfare or other things, it's because they didn't get a fair opportunity. It wasn't like it's not that they're most people are not asking for a handout. What happens is they just never got the hand up that they needed. But now let's go from a Gurmat perspective. Why are these people stuck in poverty? Why are they stuck in a place where they don't have opportunities? It's because of their karma. That's the reason why. Everything you did in your previous life affects you in this life. Now, Gurbani says that you can get out of karma. And this is Guru Nanak Dev Ji's message is different than other people who believe in karma. So like in English, they call it karma, right? So you do something before and there's a result afterwards. Guru Nanak Dev Ji explains that, you know, in Hinduism or Buddhism, you can never kind of get out of the cycle of karma. There's no way. So like, because you're always kind of taking, you're always, there's always a reward. There's always something that you owe someone. As a result of that, what happens is your karma is like that exchange is never kind of done. And you got to keep on just moving your way up or working yourself out of that karma. Guru Nanak Dev Ji explains, no, you don't have to do that. He goes, when you do Simran and you connect to Nam and you merge to Nam, you erase all your karma. So, like, one of the things is that people don't get, like, when you feed someone, for example. Okay, you fed someone who's hungry. That's good. But did you teach them, why are you in poverty? Why are you hungry? It's because of their karma. And then what happens is, if you teach them how to do Simran and how to connect to Nam, will they have poverty? Will they have hunger? No. So, look, all of you kind of have seen various versions of your life play out in front of your eyes, and you're like, wow, I could have been that instead of what I am today, right? You know, like when you're thinking, how did I manage to go ahead and avoid that? Why is that? It's because you change your karma by doing Simran. And that's an important part of that. So, yeah, it's bad, right, when people live in that way. It's good when we have social welfare programs in place to help individuals. But the best thing you can do, the biggest charity you can do, the biggest social welfare program you can put together is that of getting people to do Simran, right? Because then you can change your karma and you alleviate it. You know, when you do Simran, aren't your problem-solving skills so much better? Isn't your ability to think better? Isn't like your kind of stupidity gone? Right? I mean, all of you have experienced that. And when you don't do Simran, all of a sudden the dumbness comes back. Right? It's because the mind gets elevated. Trigun is darkness. The three gunas of Maya are darkness. And what happens is we cannot be our true self. We cannot achieve a true destiny until we rise above the three gunas of Maya.
Like, you know how we say that we erase our karma. So is it like chunks of the karma get erased, or is it like all of a sudden all the karma gets erased?
So it depends on how deep you merge in the Nam. When you merge into the Nam, all of it is erased. You write your own destiny, what you want to do, etc. But like, what is karma exactly, right? What are the three big things that you can't kind of control? It's life and death, right? You can't control that. You can't control sinjog vajog, meaning when you meet people and when you separate. And the last thing you can't control is ustath and ninda, whether you get praised or whether you get blamed about things, right? These three things are typically out of your control. So when you think about like what's in my karam, karam includes the things that you eat, okay? The things that you drink, the things that you go ahead, the money that you make in your life, right? Etc. Right? Basically where you live, okay? Because all those things ultimately reflect on jenamaran, right? Life and death, sinjog vajog. Like all of those things are kind of interrelated. So when we're talking about karma over there, you erase bits and pieces when you do simran. You erase more when you connect to num. And then finally, you erase it all when you merge into the num.
So is it your karam that you're going to get num to, or?
So then Gurbani gives the answer over there.
Because like I had a friend just recently, he was telling me, because I was talking to him about like, you know, a lot of this stuff is written out for you already. He's saying, what about the people that never heard about Simran? Is it their karam to never hear it and they're just going to pass away without knowing it?
No.
So how do they get a chance?
So Gurbani tells us over there that everyone was trained in the mother's womb and everyone gets an opportunity to hear about it, right? Like no one is devoid of religion, right? Like even people who are stuck in what we would call like tribes of, you know, continents that haven't even been exposed to like modern technology or culture, they still have an idea or a concept around religion. So people aren't devoid of that. But it says in Gurbani, it says, what if I don't, like, I know the only thing that's going to please you is my cleansing in the Nam. I know that the only thing that's going to please you is my connection to Nam. And he goes, why? Because you watch every effort I make. But what if it's not in my karam to get to the Nam? And then what do? This is written in Japji Sahib. Then Gurbani says, Matavichratan Javahar Manik Jay Guru Ki Suksuni. It says, go to your guru, give over your mat, the way that you think, and he will teach you how to go ahead and save more swas than you spend. So let's say it's not in your karma to get to the Nam. Then what happens is they will teach you how to go into sun, so that what happens is you can save swas, so you can save all that swas to get to the Nam. So a guru, a teacher, their job, Gurbani says, is to teach you. Everyone's got some sort of spiritual teacher or religious teacher or their parents as their spiritual guide. What happens is their job is to teach you how to overcome that karma. So it's not in your karma to get to Nam, but you want to get to that Nam. Then Gurbani says, go to your guru, they'll teach you how to do it.
After a week of simran here in the Bay Area, we had a member of the Sangat here ask a couple more questions. So if you could just introduce yourself here, Vaigru.
My name is Pritpal Sahura from Palo Alto, California.
So for people who don't know, Palo Alto is where Facebook is, Silicon Valley, and Virgi actually has a machine learning company. So Virgi, what's your questions?
Yeah, so my question is related to incantations as a part of while running a business. You know, you go through many ups and downs and you have a lot of pressures in general in when you go into the competition in the marketplace. So I utilize incantation to, you know, power me up.
So like Jantar Mantar?
No, so incantation related to like, you know, typical Tony Robbins self-improvement kind of incantation.
Okay, so what kind of incantation do you use?
So it's just like, you know, I have my own, you know, that I created. So
can you share it with us?
Yeah, I can share with you.
Okay.
It starts with life is beautiful. Okay. You know, and I'm experiencing this beauty of life, you know.
Okay.
And God lives inside me. That's why I'm all powerful.
Oh, very nice.
And that power I'm going to carry through and I'm going to serve my customers with that power that God lives inside me. So because God lives inside me, because I have the good intention, so I am the power. So what happened is, sometimes I use this I word multiple times during those incantation. This is just a part of the incantation that I use. And my question comes is, okay, you know, I'm raising my ego up by continuing saying that? Because what happened is when I do those things and I do a few you know, breath exercises also before high power meetings. Like I'm sitting in front of 15 different people, you know, and then I have to answer every single one of them and try to convince them to buy the products that I'm offering. And, you know, I power up myself, you know, with breath and, you know, physically, and then put my chest up and then go into the meeting. And the idea is to serve. And now it gives me confidence. It does help me. Okay. So my question is, like, when I'm doing that, my question comes to my mind is, I'm stoking my ego to take it to the next level by continue saying I, when in reality, you know, the Almighty God is doing it. So that's the question.
Okay, yeah. So that's a beautiful question. The first question I have for you on that is, who gives you the idea that it's wrong?
Oh, it's just my mind, you know.
But where did the mind get the idea from?
The mind gets the idea that, you know.
So let me give you the answer from Gurbani.
Yeah.
The mind gets the idea from the Atham, from Vaheguru.
Okay.
So Vaheguru lives in you, the Dhuts live in you. The Dhuts give you one set of ideas, the Atham gives you another set to correct those. So when you're on the wrong track, Atham speaks as well. So Atham saying, look, you keep on saying I, mm-hmm. maybe this isn't right. Mm-hmm. Now, when the mind is unsure who to listen to, whether it's the Dhuts or the Atham, then the thing you're supposed to do is you're supposed to go back to Gurbani and ask the question and say, now I'm doing this thing. Is it Gurmat? Is it Manmat? Is it what I want to do? Or is it the way my guru wants me to do? Now, there's nothing wrong with possessing self-confidence. There's something wrong with having arrogance and having pride about things that you should not have pride in. Nothing wrong with having dignity, but false pride is an issue. Now, when you're saying God is in you, God is in you, that's all truth. It's all good up until there. Now, the word I is used frequently in Gurbani. Like Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj, he says, me. He goes, me also means I, right? He says, I see God. Now, and I've seen God as the highest, okay? So, you know, when Bhagavan Namdev says, when I'm there, you're not, right? Basically, he's saying, he goes, when I'm thinking in my own Tregon, when I'm not you, when I'm not somehow in you, then you don't exist. When I've left myself, then only you exist. The word I can be used as a pronoun to go ahead and describe yourself in a way that's ingratiating to God. Gurbani says may so many times. There's so many times it uses the word I. Some people say it's not there. It is there. In Gurbani, the gurus use the word I. I doesn't necessarily mean ego. Okay? I just means you're expressing yourself from your personal point of view, your experience. However, when you say, I am the God, right? I am God. That's where the problem comes in. Because without Shabad, Gurbani says, you're not Vaheguru. You're just make-believing you're Vaheguru. Because your mind is only in Maya. So essentially, all you're doing is in make-belief. Like you're hyping yourself up to put yourself in a state of make-belief. Now, Gurbani says that the breathing exercises, for example, when we do Simran, we go ahead, like yogis used to do this all the time. The difference between Yogmat and Gurmat, Yogmat keeps you in the pavan, keeps you in the breath. Gurmat keeps you in the Shabad. When we do Simran, obviously there's a level of breathing exercise there. Vaheguru, Vaheguru. And we do it loud and fast sometimes. And you might get the same euphoria as when you pump yourself up. Right? The difference is our mind's dhyan is in the words. It's not in the physical body is doing. Right? So that's a big thing. Gurbani says the reason why we don't have energy or we lack it or there's imbalance is because of an imbalance in the prana. So when people typically do yoga as health for the body or anything else, what they have to know is anything for the prana where there's deep breathing, etc., because the mind is attached to the prana, is actually good. But know that it's good only on a physical level. On a spiritual level, what you need to connect to is the Shabad Guru. Okay? The other thing is some people do this where they take a Shabad, they take a piece of Gurbani, and they use that as a daily affirmation. Right? The problem with that is that although it's good that they're using Gurbani, the reality is Gurbani is for knowledge. and it's supposed to teach you how to do something. So sometimes the recitation of it, like for example, so many people read Sukhmani Sahib, for example. Now, Sukhmani Sahib is Prabhupada Simran Sabte Ucha. But then they don't do Simran. So are they getting the teachings yet? So part of the challenge is, like you talked about, Virji, you know, in your business is, you say, look, materially, I want to be successful. My mind lacks confidence, and I want to give my mind the confidence. I want to remove the fear from my mind. Gurbani says when you make a commitment to Simran, your fear will go away, the confidence will be there, and there'll be success in everything you do. So, like, I have been through, when you do these exercises, it's wonderful, but if we do it in a Gurmukh way, the best way to do it is do the Simran and do the Ardas, right? Ardas is basically the same thing as the affirmation, but you're relying on Waheguru rather than yourself. Because when the credit comes, when the good stuff happens, are you going to give credit to Waheguru or are you going to credit yourself?
I have started giving it to Waheguru.
But that's the thing. That's the thing missing from Tony Robbins and the other things, right? Mm. Then, I mean, essentially Tony Robbins becomes the guru rather than Waheguru and Guru Granth Sahib doing the teaching, right? And it's not to say that they're not offering helpful information in terms of Trigun Math. But when we want Guru's Math, when we want to go forward materially and be successful, as well as spiritually be successful, then we have to take Guru's Math. And Guru's Math tells us, Waheguru already knows everything inside of you. There's no need to do the Ardas, but if you need to do Ardas for something, ask for Namdan. And when you only ask for Namdan, then you'll get what you want to, right? Maya doesn't have a control for you. Maya sits at your feet. And then the other thing is when you do Simran and you win over your mind, then you win the whole world. That's why it says, Ai panthi sakazamati manjite jagajit. It says you want to win the world? Win your mind.
Yeah. So I never say that I'm the God, just to clarify.
I'm just saying some people right?
I don't. And then credit to Tony also. He's spiritual too.
That's everybody. When you have all the success in the world, then you realize
feel empty.
Success without what God usually makes people just almost demons. Because here you have all this money and power and you're just vacant. You're almost like in a haze. And you have to have really a spiritual grounding. Otherwise, success and money will corrupt you so much, it just ruins your whole life.
Sure. I just want to share one thing.
Yeah.
A very interesting thing happened the other day. We went to Fairfield for Simran. And normally, you know, I'm just starting out. I would try to sit in the back, and do it still.
Virgie's clean. For everyone on the podcast, Virgie's clean shaven.
Yeah.
He's wearing an Oakland Athletics hat right now.
Yeah, so I tried to, try to not to be in the front. I sit in the back, And I did the Simran. After that, I was, this whole week is going awesome overall. I'm so peaceful in general, I had a great meeting on Monday on the customer, and I got an email, which is, customer said that, I really want to start this thing with you, what you said, told me just today, So because I was very calm in that meeting, that's helped me a lot. So I just want to share that.
You know, that's a beautiful thing, right? Can I tell you something? Like your brother was saying, he runs to Sangath now on Saturdays, right? It's his outlet for stuff. When people do like 1 a.m. to 4 a.m., when people build that discipline for doing the Simran, oh man, amazing things can happen. And Gurbani says that. It goes wealth, property, family, children, happiness all come to you when your child knows how to do Seva of Sadhguru.
Yeah. Mainly the peace of mind,
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't buy that, can you?
No, nothing.
And what's nice? You didn't have to pay for any of our seminars.
That's exactly what we were talking on the way over here. I'm like, this is the only place where, of course, Paisav, you and everybody, you're doing this selfless service. There's nowhere else you could find this selfless service.
Yeah, because every seminar costs $15,000, $20,000. Yeah. You know what? Usually if you sit in the front in those seminars, the tickets are more expensive.
Look,
you just got up to go to the bathroom. You got a front row seat.
Thank you for that.